Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for trade deadline day, Keith?
Of course I am. Jones, I would have to say, no hyperbole, it's one of the 30 best sports days of the year.
Oh, top 30 for sure.
Top 30 sports day of the year. It's one of my favorite events. I do look forward to it. Just like the all the deadlines, really, honestly. All four trade deadlines. And usually they wrap up just after our show is over. Today, all the way till 6. I don't know why they need to go all the way to 6.
Yeah, what the hell?
But trade deadline day is very exciting. The draft days are very exciting. And this could be huge because we're going to feel a certain type of way about the Red Sox following today.
I'm nervous about the way I'm going to be feeling about my guy, Craig Breslow.
Yep.
No one is more Brez pro than I am.
Uh-huh.
He did make a move, which we'll get to here coming up. But it's Jones and Keefe live from Gillette Stadium on WEEI. It is day 8 of Patriots training camp. This one's going to be a light one.
Yeah, I got the binocs back.
Pop those binocs on. You see anybody in a helmet down there?
Looks like a lot of no helmet guys.
Yeah, I see no shoulder pads, no helmets
hats.
Out there.
I do see some bucket hats.
A sizable amount of bucket hats out there. So
shout out to Mother Nature, by the way. First day not in the mid-90s this week.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
Good for her.
I'm actually not sweating right now.
She knew it was a walkthrough today. Yep. We are presented by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros at Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on, at McFarlaneEnergy.com. We have Billy Lanny at the trade desk, and I'm told we got trades going down.
No way.
Can you believe it?
All right, Ken Rosenthal. Sources confirm Tigers acquiring right-handed pitcher Paul Sewald from the Guardians.
Okay. Well, listen.
Guardians selling.
If you hear that sound anytime during the show, that means a baseball trade has happened, and that is early. We are inside of 8 hours until the deadline, so teams have a while to go. Now, it's 7 a.m. on the West Coast, Jones, so some of these teams just waking up, just having their coffee.
They pretty much all have the day off, though. I think there's only like 3 games in baseball today, so pretty much every GM was like, just wait for Thursday.
Let's just wait for Thursday.
I got a day off. I got stuff to do. I'm not going to run errands on a work day. I'm waiting for my day off. I think that's what pretty much all of baseball is doing.
You're saying the Guardians sellers.
Yeah, well, the Guardians traded the Biebs earlier
today.
Makes
sense. Biebs gone. Emmanuel Clase, a gambling addict. And now this move, too. They're only 2.5 games out of a wild card spot, but I think they realize it's not happening for them.
Nope.
It's not happening. They have a negative run differential. They also have one team in front of them until you even get to the playoffs. So the fact that Cleveland's selling suggests to me that everybody else in the American League probably will be as well. Cleveland, Kansas City, Tampa, Angels, Twins, Orioles, A's, White Sox, all those teams.
Tampa kind of already started. They made a trade last night, trading a starting pitcher. I think some of those teams we are seeing the line of demarcation. Seattle bought again in a big way.
Holy smokes.
Overnight.
Seattle's no joke.
They've gotten a little scarier, if we're being honest.
Seattle's tough. Seattle's lost a couple games in a row. The Red Sox have a game and a half lead on them. Seattle tied with Texas for the third and final wildcard spot in the American League, but they have been the most aggressive. They've made two of the best moves so far. Right, Josh Naylor, I thought was a good move. Getting Suarez from the Snakes is a great move.
Yeah.
That's one of that could go down as the best player trade.
And stop me if you heard this before, Keith, but the Red Sox were in on Suarez.
Oh, were they? Oh, that's good news.
To potentially put him at first base, but the Mariners outmaneuvered them.
That's big
for Eugenio Suarez.
Like that is really big because if you
I had said I didn't really care about the Josh Naylor move. I think it's a good move for Seattle, but I didn't need the lefty bat. Solid. Suarez is one where I'm like, he moved. That's a guy they should have got.
Definitely.
That's a guy. That's exactly what they need. A right-handed bat who they were looking at playing at first. That's exactly what they need.
And if you feel like there's three spots for there's four teams fighting for three spots, right? And if one of those teams is the Mariners and they just added these two guys and they're not done and they have a better rotation than you do anyway, like they needed help in the lineup. They don't score as many runs as the Red Sox do. Well, they're about to. Like that, you give Big Dumper some protection in the lineup.
Yeah,
or some ducks in the pond, or whatever, however they decide to do it.
The Dumper is protected now.
He is,
and or as you said, he's got more ducks on the pond.
He's got a duck city
for all those home runs he's swatting.
So that's not ideal. Breslow better get up off his keister and get something done.
Okay, well he technically made a move, and you can weigh in on the Red Sox at the trade deadline. He's got until 6 Keith. P.M. Eastern time.
I guess.
You can discuss 617-779-7937. Billy Lanny stationed at the trade desk all day long. That noise you heard earlier, as you just found out, not just for Red Sox trades.
No, any and all trades.
We mean all.
All trades.
Any and all trades throughout Major League Baseball. We will go to the trade desk with Billy Lanny, our MLB correspondent today, live from Foxborough. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe, at Keefe21. At Jones WEEI. You can watch and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. I'm sure there's a lot of good ideas for what Breslow could do there. Same on YouTube. Just subscribe and chat there. WEEI is how you would do that. They did make a trade for Steven Matz, Keith.
Nice.
34-year-old rental reliever, left-handed. He's what you call in baseball today a bulk reliever.
Oh, bulk reliever.
A guy who can give you a couple of innings. From what I read earlier today, I guess the Cardinals have been using him for a lot of 5 and 6 out stints. So a depth guy in your bullpen, you look at the numbers and you go, oh, well, that's not terrible. He's 5-2, 3.44 ERA.
Yeah.
They gave up Blaze Jordan, their 19th ranked prospect in the organization, so it didn't cost much.
Awesome name, though.
Blaze Jordan's a tremendous name.
All name team.
Tremendous name. I saw he and Carrabas flirting on Twitter last night.
Who, Blaze Jordan and Carrabas?
Yeah. Carrabas like, nice. I'm sad they traded Blaze, and Blaze just hit him with a little heart emoji.
Oh, that is cute.
Last night, yeah, so it was
glad
good.
That happened.
Very cute going on. So 3.44 ERA, you go, oh, okay, well, that's not terrible. That's an upgrade in their bullpen.
Right.
But then I go, well, what did Lucas Sims have last year?
Probably the same.
3.57 ERA. What did Luis Garcia have last year? 3.71
What'd they have after?
ERA. Yeah, oh, and it was brutal once they got here. So, look, Matz might be okay. I'm not telling you he can't help, but this is closer to that level of move. These are the moves that Breslow, so far, has made at the trade deadline the last 2 years. This one doesn't stand out in any way.
I just remember Steven Matz as one of the guys the Mets had when they were considered the best pitching prospects of all time. They had Matt Harvey, Jacob deGrom, Zach Wheeler, Steven Matz, and Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be their rotation for like the next 10 years. Well, two of those guys are really good, but they're pitching for other teams. DeGrom ended up being nasty. Wheeler ended up being nasty. Harvey got like hurt and was a mess. Syndergaard maybe had like a good season. Matt's never really
Syndergaard. I bet Syndergaard for a brief amount of time was really good. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Two of those guys really, really hit.
And then Matt's got traded.
And both of them no longer pitched there. Yeah.
No. It ended up being a mess. And that's why like pitching always kind of scares me. I understand the importance of pitching and you know starting pitching in the, come playoff time. But it is dangerous because nobody thought they were going to be set up better than the like 2015 Mets. And then what have they gotten for it? You know, like all those guys are pretty much gone.
Right. And you'd think with five of those guys, you're like, oh, well, as some you said, a couple of them will click.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, they do. But Zach Wheeler didn't really click until he left New York. You know, DeGrom was good there for a long time. He left. Harvey burned bright. Same thing with Syndergaard. And Matz never really hit.
No, but so, Matz is kind of whatever. Like, I don't think.
Right. I'm not saying it won't help. I'm just saying when we talk about a big swing. Bullpen is lowest on my list.
But even this isn't a big bullpen swing. Like Mason Miller is a big swing bullpen wise.
Or the guys who moved last night. Duran, the reliever from Minnesota.
No, it's Johan Duran, the Spanish Jaron Duran.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Duran?
It's Johan Duran.
It's not Duran.
No.
Oh, okay.
Johan Duran.
It would be funny if the Red Sox acquired a Duran instead of traded away a Duran, but it was a Duran the whole time.
Yeah.
I didn't know
it's
that.
Spanish for Jaron Duran.
Amazing. He even pitched against the Red Sox last week, and I didn't know it's Duran. My mistake.
Yeah.
So it's not him. It's not even Helsley, who's not having the greatest year. But those are two impact relievers that have moved thus far. Maybe more of them will.
Yeah.
I would argue that an impact starter hasn't moved yet. Maybe you would consider the Biebs that. He's a former Cy Young winner, Keith, in 2020. I don't know if you count that or not. I don't know if that's outside your purview.
I feel like post-COVID for me. I mean, we're already in 2025, Jones, and we're more than halfway through it. So I think you have to be great 21 or beyond.
So do you even recognize a Cy Young in the COVID year? Do you even recognize that?
Not really, no. We were actually doing this the other day when The Athletic came out with their Who's Surefire Hall of Famer, and they had one of their, like, as of right now, and Freddie Freeman was one of their guys. And Freeman did win an MVP, but it was in a 60-game season.
COVID MVP.
I'm out on that. Scrap it.
The Biebs has not thrown a pitch in the big leagues this year. He's coming back from an injury, but
so
I guess
you're saying he's fresh.
I guess he looked good in his last rehab start. After him, Zach Littell, the righty for Tampa, is probably the best starter that's moved 8-8 this year, 3.58 ERA. I think the takeaway for the Red Sox is what's good about it is Tampa might be selling, and maybe you can get yourself a Yandy Diaz.
That'd be nice.
But no, I mean, Matt's is a so-so, run-of-the-mill, Craig Breslow type of move. Same kind of move he made last year. ESPN graded it a C+, Keith. Cardinals, as we said, use him for 5 and 6 outs at a time. The Red Sox could potentially stretch him out as a number 5 starter. I guess he's been poor as a starter the last few years, better out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
ESPN says, all in all, Matt's is a versatile pitcher. With still identifiable strengths, who deepens Boston's staff. He's not really a needle mover. I'd say not.
No, I would agree on that.
But it only took an unranked prospect, Sox prospects as of 19th in the system, Blaze Jordan, to land him in advance of the looming free agent.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like the timing of it, right? Like you didn't get Alex Bregman right away in the offseason, but then when you did, that ended up being like a really great offseason. So like if Steven Matz was the third or fourth guy that you added and you had like a stud pitcher, maybe even an everyday bat and Steven Matz, you're like, all right, good. You know, hopefully he helps. If he doesn't, you didn't take too big of a swing. Not going to kill you. It's a tinker. But this also, not just for the fan base, but for the team, they're looking around the clubhouse and they've had so many second half collapses and bad August under Alex Cora because he kind of mopes when they don't make a move. The rest of the team then kind of mopes when they don't make a move. You can't say, well, Steven Matz is a move. Like, that's not going to do anything. Like, he might come in and maybe the guys like him, maybe they use him correctly and he actually helps you a little bit, but there's no, hey guys, they clearly believe in us, they went out and got Steven Matz.
No, certainly doesn't feel that way. I'm going to give you
he has two nicknames.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's two nicknames.
I was on the baseball reference page. I skimmed right over that. What are they?
I don't know how you did that. One of them, Matsy.
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 Yeah.
The other one.
They should call him Matz Stairs. M-A-T-Z Stairs. That's what they should call him.
Matz Stairs?
Matz Stairs.
He's a pitcher, though.
Yeah.
His other nickname is Reno.
Oh, why is that? Is he from Reno?
Oh, maybe he's related to Janet Reno. I don't know. No, he's not even from Reno. He's from Stony Brook, New York.
So not even Nevada.
I don't get it. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to ask him about it.
Okay.
We never get it. You know, Bradford will ask him.
Bradfo.
Get to that.
Who we're going to talk to coming up at 11:30. Bradfo, if you're listening, and if not, we'll ask him about it. Get to the bottom of why Steve Matz's nickname is already Reno. Yeah. Although Bradfo may already know that for all
he
we
probably
know.
Does.
Speaking of Bradfo, let me give you a few rumors out there floating around last night. He linked the Red Sox to the starting pitchers in Arizona. We've talked a lot about them. Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen. I'd expect one or both to move today. Alex Spear had those names, plus Sandy Alcantara and Mitch Keller. Spear also said that the Red Sox and their approach on rental relievers is that given the volatility of relievers, the Sox are reluctant to give up top prospects, particularly at the upper levels of the minors, for 2 months of a reliever. So they pivoted and went with Blaze Jordan instead.
I mean, Matz is a rental.
He is, but it was not
a top prospect to give up. He actually makes way more money than you would think.
Oh, he signed like a 4-year, $45 million deal or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, he's making 12.5 this year. Obviously, the Red Sox won't have to pay
Henry
all of that.
Adding payroll.
Yeah, they did.
Replacing Rafi Devers.
I mean, what is that? $6 million they're going to owe this guy? $5 million, whatever it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something.
A couple other things. Ken Rosenthal this morning, who had our first trade in at the trade desk, he says the Red Sox could possibly target both Charlie Morton and Ryan O'Hearn in a combo deal. I'd feel better if I'm getting O'Hearn. I want nothing to do with Charlie Morton. And O'Hearn is a lefty. I would have rather Suarez. I'd way rather Yandy Diaz, who Rosenthal also said the Rays are putting Yandy Diaz on the back burner as they approach
also,
the trade deadline.
I know he was an all-star, but let's get this out in front before they do it, and then people are just going to say we're being negative. How good is Ryan O'Hearn?
Oh, I don't think great.
Okay, thank you. So, like, I don't want to be like you're only saying this because they made the move. Let's get out in front. If they add him, it's like a nice addition. But if I'm Abraham Toro, I'm like, yeah, I can still play.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you look at it. So, he is an O'Hearn was an all-star this year. So, he's having his best year.
Charlie Morton's been an all-star twice.
Right. But he has 13 home runs. Last year, he had 15. Ryan O'Hearn, I'm talking about. Now, he does have an 837 OPS, which is nothing to sneeze at. But
yeah, he's not at the top of my list.
I'd rather have Josh Naylor.
Same. I was just going to say the exact same thing. I would have had him below Josh Naylor on my trade target list, but I have him
left wrong. I would take him, and it's more than a step up from Danny Jansen. Like, Danny Jansen, they were excited about last year, and it made no sense even in real time. O'Hearn, I could see as more of an addition. But when you're trying to solve some of these lineups against lefties, for example, like, I don't know if O'Hearn's really a guy that's going to help you there.
No, I would say not. I'll give him credit for acquiring him, but I don't know that that's a big splash, and it's not really what we're looking for today. Yandy Diaz, Dylan Cease.
In fact, Ryan O'Hearn this season, I mentioned 13 home runs, all against righties. There's no home runs against lefties.
So he's not helping you whatsoever against lefties, and you need a righty stick.
Correct.
Yeah, again, I mean, look, I'm all for acquiring talent. He's probably an upgrade on Abraham Toro, but it doesn't feel like the greatest fit necessarily, and I want nothing to do with Charlie Morton.
No, thank you.
He's older than me and Keith, not combined.
For real, though.
But individually.
That's a real stat.
He's older than the two of us. Yeah, no, we're not young. This is true. So, I mean, the big names out there, Yandy Diaz, Dylan Cease, maybe the super high end, Joe Ryan. I'd talk myself into those guys from the Diamondbacks. I think they'd be decently big moves, whether it's Gallen or Merrill Kelly. I think the Marlins pitchers feel like more and more of a pipe dream, Alcantara and Edward Cabrera. What's a best-case scenario for Craig Breslow today? What's a worst-case scenario for Craig Breslow today? What do you want to see the Sox do? Again, we'll talk to Bradford coming up about an hour from now. Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring, and WEEI. He'll join us at 11:30. We'll go on the clock at high noon. We'll catch you up to speed on everything you missed at Patriots training camp in just 60 seconds. We'll summarize that for you. Plus, we got a Kiefer Madness at 12:45. Stay tuned for it. Jones and Keefe Live, day 8 of Patriots training camp. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending, and when we come back, we'll get to the latest on what Craig Breslow is up.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two, that's next.
In my eyes, what do you see? Cora's at a children's birthday party.
That's what he's doing today, Keith.
Man, he's going to be surprised when they trade Duran and Chapman. They're like, hey, Cora, I wish we could have run something by you there, but you weren't here, so.
What an absolute douche move by Cora. He's like, I got nothing to do with whatever we do today.
Not me.
If we sell, not me. If we make a bunch of crummy moves, not me. You know if they make a big move, he'll be front and center trying to take credit for it. I was on the phone the whole time at the kids, but I wasn't even watching my kids. If they trade for Joe Ryan, he's going to take credit. Everything else, he's distancing himself. I would say not the greatest sign at the trade deadline. Doesn't sound like the manager is on pins and needles about any big moves.
Well, everybody does talk about a work-life balance.
Sure.
Like Alex Cora has definitely prioritized life, and that's his prerogative. And so today he is not going to be involved in any of the moves that they make.
Okay. Unbelievable. He's also not at, by the sounds of it, his own children. It's not like it's their birthday. He's just on kid duty going to like some Chuck E. Cheese or something like that is what he's doing.
You know what the thing with Chuck E. Cheese is? And pardon me if they're a sponsor.
I've not been. Let me tell you, though, real quick.
Yeah.
Greg said the other day that the pizza there is sneaky good. He's like, the pizza at Chuck E. Cheese is sneaky good. And then I heard from a buddy of mine that was at a kid's party. He's like, stuffed crust? It's awesome. I'm like, I'm missing out on this
pizza. No, Chuck E. Cheese is good. Did you see the guy, though, that got arrested down in Florida for, like, tax fraud?
I did.
They arrested him in the suit, and he still had the hat on or the head on as he was, like, getting, like, walked out of there?
If I'm not mistaken, I believe that came up in the news, and that's how Greg was talking about the pizza. But, yeah, that's a good story.
No, but
yeah.
Here's the thing, and they'll get you, and it's all about making money, but you get into Chuck E. Cheese, right? You pay to get into Chuck E. Cheese, and then you're paying for, like, the arcades and stuff. Then they have like a trampoline section, which you also need to pay for. It's not included. It's obviously you bring a little kid there. They see a trampoline. They need to be on that trampoline.
Did we talk about this on the air? I went to a birthday party, Bragg, at a roller rink, Keith.
Roller rink?
Yeah.
No, I've done mostly trampoline parks.
Let me tell you.
Every trampoline park in New England I think I've been to.
Let me tell you. I tried real roller skates, not blades.
I can't do either one.
Dude, those are hard. That is just not a skill that returns.
No.
I wiped out I mean, hard. Once I got out there and thought I had the feel for it.
Then all the kids see you wipe out.
Oh, every kid, parents.
Oh, it's excellent.
You know, and you have to get right back up, but I'm like, my hip. I couldn't imagine Charlie Morton's hip
so you
after this fall.
Quick?
But I popped up quick.
Oh,
and then
laid there.
I went right off. I went right off the field, though. I went right out of there.
Guys, anybody else have a broken blade here? Anybody got a bum wheel? They're like, no, that wasn't. Don't blame the wheel.
I started to open it up once I got comfortable out there, and it did not go well.
No, I'm staying away from that.
I got to stick to the Chuck E. Cheese party is what I got to stick to.
Chuck E. Cheese, where it's at, yeah.
That's what I got to stick
true.
To. So Cora at a children's birthday party today. Doesn't sound like he's
great.
Super revved up about the trade deadline. It's Jones and Keefe. We're live at Patriots training camp day 8. It's a walkthrough today. Real light
out there.
I see Drake May in a helmet. Other than that, I see mostly bucket hats. That would include Josh Dobbs on the other field running through plays in a baseball cap. So no one else in a helmet that I can see.
Robert Spillane isn't in a helmet. So
he is.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people are probably – I bet they're doing some of like the mic'd up stuff.
You know what? You're right. I see
so
Spillane out there.
He's probably talking to the D coordinator or whatever.
Who's 51 Ellis? Who's 51? I see him. Actually, you're right. There's a couple of helmets out
there.
Not many.
Signal callers on both sides have the helmets. That's about it, though. Kayshawn Booty has a winter hat on. Although today is 20 degrees cooler.
It's a little brisk out there today.
No, it's not, but it is cooler than yesterday.
I can see a toque. I can see a nice winter toque.
One item worth mentioning is the return of Mac Hollins.
Yep.
And he was inserted right into the first team offense. And they're just doing stuff, you know, half speed, obviously. But they were getting him involved early. Some of the wide receiver combinations had him in there. Like when they were going 2-3 wide outs deep, just trying to throw him back in. Because we figured, you know, that's a guy that's going to be in the mix. He has a roster spot if he's healthy, and then who gets sort of bumped down, and then who gets kind of just released because of his return. And they're wasting no time. They threw him right back in there.
Yeah, so it looked like Booty was the man that dropped down a touch, if you will. I'd say the guy in jeopardy for a roster spot the way it's played out. I mean, definitely Efton Chisholm. But I would say Kendrick Ward would be the guy in jeopardy. If Hollins is going to be back this soon,
I would agree.
And Reese had the note today. You can't even do a walkthrough if you're on PUP. Like, you can't do anything if you're on PUP. Carlton Davis is back here today.
Yeah.
He's never been – well, he was on NFI. He was activated, though, going into day one of camp. You can't participate in walkthroughs if you're on any of these lists. So he's been activated, which means someone like Kendrick Bourne better get it going, or he's probably in jeopardy of a roster spot.
Because Kayshawn Booty's been solid. You know, he's out there a lot. He hasn't done anything bad. You know,
he's like, out there right now with May, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So he's on the field right now with May. Pop Douglas –
Mac just caught that pass.
There you go.
Kayshawn Booty getting in the mix. Also,
so,
Mac Hollins.
Yeah.
At first glance, I was like, is he wearing socks?
Well, we know the man. We're going to have more about this. This is Kismet, by the way. We're going to have more on Mac Hollins coming up.
He's a character.
He's quite a character.
He loves being barefoot. On the field, he is wearing like shoes, but they're like look like little like slip-on. Like, some of these guys are wearing like turf shoes or cleats.
Is he wearing a crampon? Is that what he's wearing?
I don't know what that means, but yeah.
It's a mountain climbing shoe.
Oh, yeah, with the toes,
tootsies. Yeah. Or is it like a water shoe? Like something like that?
Oh, yeah, a little water shoe. Yeah, Wiggy's big into water shoes, right? They talk about that in the morning.
Oh, does Wiggy wear a water shoe?
I think he wears water shoes at the beach, yeah.
Well, where's he going to the beach?
Touchdown, Steph Diggs. He loves going. Did I report on that?
Yeah. Where's he going to the beach?
Oh, he's a big Hampton Beach guy. He loves Hampton Beach.
Yeah, but is it all rocks? What do you need water shoes for if you're on a nice sandy beach?
Maybe no. I think he says from like the parking lot to the beach.
Oh, just to protect his feet walking over.
I don't know. Man.
Oh, well, that I get.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a flops guy. I understand that.
Not me.
By your not eyesight, Keith, this is an important distinction. Through the binocs, you're reporting that Mac Hollins is out there in maybe a lighter shoe, but nonetheless a shoe.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. And getting some work with Drake May in the first team offense.
Okay. Well, you heard that here first. On Jones and Keith.
Austin Hooper with a catch.
Absent today, no Christian Gonzalez, no surprise. Garrett Bradbury out again. Jelani Tavai, Sidy Sow, and Antonio Gibson. That's a new one.
Gibby.
Although, again, today is a walkthrough. The only player remaining on PUP now that Mac Hollins has been activated is Vidarian Lowe. Carlton Davis returned. He's limited. He was at the last walkthrough. Hasn't taken a meaningful rep since day one of camp. And Josh Farmer, the rookie out of Florida State, we told you he was here the other day rehabbing. He is back out there in limited capacity today.
Crowd is significantly bigger than it was yesterday. Unfortunately, there's really not much
you're
to
not
get excited
much,
about.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the weather is better for fans to sit in the stands. Yesterday was brutal. You had a little bit more action, though. They were helmet and shoulder pads yesterday. Today, really just a walk through. And then tomorrow night, right? They go inside the stadium for the season ticket holder.
If you're a season ticket holder, you can watch them go through their paces in the stadium. Typically, that's a walkthrough, but I guess some of the beat writers are hinting at maybe it'll be a bit more inside the stadium tomorrow night if you're fortunate enough to be a season ticket holder. We won't be here tomorrow. We'll be here Monday through Wednesday next week, including joint practices against the Washington Commanders. 617-779-7937. I'm going to give you the short list, Keith. I don't think we've missed any trades. We haven't had to go to the trade desk with Billy Lanny.
No, it's quiet recently. Right now. Too quiet.
I'm going to go through the names that have moved that I think are significant. You tell me if we should add anybody else to the list and tell me if you wanted the Red Sox to be in on any of these guys. If you're just tuning in, they did acquire Steven Matz. He's a lefty reliever, 3.44 ERA. They dealt away Blaze Jordan, their number 19 prospect. So a low-level, or a low-ranked, rather, prospect. I think he was actually in AAA. But Matz feels like the Lucas Sims and Luis Garcia moves last year. In Breslow's defense, I don't think a lot of impact guys, specifically starters, have moved. Should they have been in on Shane Bieber, Keith, the 2020 Cy Young winner, who is 62-32, 3.22 ERA for his career? I think that's probably the best pitcher who's moved. He's not thrown a pitch in the big leagues this year as he rehabs from an injury. It cost Toronto their number 5 prospect. Should the Red Sox have been in on the Biebs?
No, I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that. You know, he was at one point really good. You know, it's not the equivalent of getting Corey Kluber a couple of years ago, but it's not as far right off of that either. So, yeah, at one point a great pitcher. I guess you look at it from the Blue Jays side. You're like, all right, there's some upside there. He could be really good, but I mean.
Well, and I think you're right to connect those dots. I should have said it's to Toronto
because
that is – you know, that is a team that you're, in theory, chasing in the division. I think the Blue Jays are within reach, and they are making a move for a starter.
He was really good. So he wins the Cy Young in the COVID year. He's an all-star in 21. He had a good year in 22. But then even in 23, above average, I would say, but closer to average. And then 24, he only starts 2 games, and he hasn't pitched at all this year. So, no, I'm not kicking and screaming about that one.
Okay, me neither. Zach Littell, the righty from Tampa, 8-8, 3.58 ERA. I'd way rather Zach Gallen. I'd way rather Merrill Kelly, Dylan Cease on the super high end, Joe Ryan, Alcantara, Edward Cabrera.
No, I'm good.
Did I say Mitch Keller? Like I'd rather every single one of those names over Bieber or Littell. So I don't in Breslow's defense, I don't think an impact starting pitcher has moved unless you consider Bieber that. I think there are 4 impact names that have moved, Keith.
Okay.
Seattle got 2 of them. We talked about them earlier. Suarez and Naylor. We both wanted Suarez.
Yep.
He's a righty stick. Red Sox were allegedly in on him and potentially looking at him playing first base, which does tell you they're kicking the tires on a righty bat and a first baseman. Josh Naylor also went to Seattle. Those are the 2 best bats to move. Should they have been in on either reliever?
Real quick on Suarez,
for
those that haven't been paying attention, I don't blame you. He's been playing for the Diamondbacks the last 2 years.
He's got 35 bombs?
36 home runs.
Excuse me.
And he leads the league with 87 RBI. And
he's just sitting on waivers in the Dingers League, Keith. He's just sitting there.
He's got 36 home runs and an OPS of almost 900.
Yeah, he's been awesome. He was an all-star. He is a
third baseman, though, so I guess there is a little bit of like, all right, what do you do with him? I don't know. DH him if he can't pick up the glove.
Correct.
Like that is a guy that I would have wanted, and he goes to a direct competitor of yours, one of the teams that is fighting for a wild card spot with you. So that's a double whammy. Like, yeah, I wanted him, and not only that, but he went to an American League contender, not a National League team.
And not for nothing, that's true. That's a direct competitor for you. Seattle got 2 of those bats. Not for nothing. Who was Bregman in their lineup on Wednesday?
No.
So maybe he could spot start some games at third.
Right.
You can get in the mix at first, a la Kyle Schwarber. And if it doesn't work, then he's a DH. But that's a guy I definitely wanted them in on. To me, that's the best name that moved that I wanted them in on. What about, what is it again? Johan Duran.
Johan Duran.
It's Spanish for Jaron Duran?
Yeah.
Should they have been in on Duran?
Yes.
Or Ryan Helsley that went to the Phillies, Dave Dombrowski, and the Mets, respectively? Should they have been in on those guys?
Yeah, I think so. I think they should have been in on both. I mean, I think Duran. Now, it's funny. With some of these guys, you know, you go all the way back to Eric Gagne. Like, depending on what role they are, maybe they can't handle it. Right now, you can count on Whitlock and you can count on Chapman,
mm-hmm.
right? It's some of the other guys, varying degrees. If you told me, like, Duran can come in here and you know, close games where Chapman's not available, or be a 7th, 8th inning guy on days where they're all available, I would say absolutely yes. There's no guarantee it works, but to answer your question, yeah, I would have been in on him. He is he's having a really, really good year. He, I believe, is under team control. Like, for some of you that are worried about rentals and things like that. You could have him. I think he's arbitration eligible for a couple of years. So, yeah, I would bid in on
it. Well, and the thing about Helsley is, you know, they were talking to Chaim Bloom, which is the other end of the deal they did make for Mats. So they were clearly talking to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And they didn't get Helsley, who went to the Mets. They also acquired another reliever, Taylor Rogers, at the deadline. Good news, though, Keith. You said they should have been in on Duran. They were.
Oh, good.
According to John Heyman.
Nice.
Dave Dombrowski, however, outmaneuvered Craig Breslow for Duran. They were in on Suarez to play at first, and they were in on Duran.
So they almost got Suarez and Duran.
Almost. Did that count anything for
honestly,
you with Breslow?
I still want a starter, but that alone I would have been happy with.
Yeah,
if they got those two.
If they got Duran and Suarez.
I would have been like, all right, good one.
Great deadline for you there, Brez.
Yep, I would have been. No, you guys crushed it. And if I had to pick between Duran and Helsley, I would pick Duran.
Same.
But I would have taken either one.
617-779-7937. We'll keep you up to speed on all the latest Red Sox rumors. We'll go to the MLB trade deadline desk with Billy Lanny, our MLB correspondent, all day long here today. Any trades happen, and we mean any. Trades happen.
Does not matter.
You're going to hear them throughout the day here on Jones and Keefe. Keep it locked here. We'll talk to Rob Bradford, WEEI, and Baseball Isn't Boring at 11:30 for all the latest Red Sox intel. So keep it locked here. Meanwhile, updates from Patriots training camp as well. Day 8 here in Foxborough. We had Robert Kraft sitting down with Kay Adams yesterday. A couple of interesting items that he revealed yesterday. We'll dive in on that, including Robert Kraft taking credit for yet another head coaching hire, which I'd probably steer clear of if I were.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For him, that's next. That was Robert Kraft yesterday with Kay Adams. She was in attendance at Patriots training camp for day 7. NFL Network in the house today, day 8.
Oh, yeah.
A little teeny tiny Ian Rappaport
there
and Mike Garofalo out there today.
Uh-huh.
Properly represented by the NFL Network. But Kraft sat down yesterday and discussed the idea of the Tom Brady statue. which they have had, Keith, apparently for over a year, but Brady's been so busy.
Oh, he's swamped.
And he's so good on TV, according to Kraft.
Vagara, Sidney Sweeney. I mean, this guy.
No, good point.
Of course he's busy.
He's got stuff to do.
Yep.
Literally and figuratively. So he wasn't able to find it in his schedule last year to get this done, even though the statue was built and ready to go. So they're going to do it, what is it, on Friday, right, against Washington? It'll be a week from tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
Is when they're going to unveil that preseason game.
I'm excited.
Who was telling me this? Was this UTERP? They're charging separate rates, separate prices?
It is?
Something like that.
Oh, boy.
I think they're charging or maybe an inflated price, I should say. Maybe that's what it is, more accurately. But they're making a buck off it. Let's put
it that
way.
I'm excited to see the statue because statues can go one of two ways.
Well,
they can look kind of like the person or they can look not at all like the person.
Now, Kraft separately in that interview revealed that it's a 12-foot tall statue. 12.
I get it.
Get it?
I do get it.
And that Brady hasn't seen it, which shocked Kay Adams and I would say surprises me too, given some of the Dwayne Wade statue.
You can't send him a photo? He doesn't have to see it in person.
The Ronaldo statue? Him. Yeah, he has not seen it.
Not to spoil Happy Gilmore 2 for you, which I know you haven't seen yet.
I thought about it again last night, though.
But they do.
I had to do TV brag. I thought about it.
They have a bust of all like the tour champions.
Yeah.
They have one of him, but it's like a running joke because it looks nothing like they made the teeth like enormous. He looks ridiculous. So there is that, but that can happen. You know, we've seen Tom Brady when he was in court against the NFL. That courtroom sketch of him,
great one. Yeah,
that didn't look like Tom Brady.
No.
So you never know. Statues could be misleading.
Okay. And yeah, Kraft.
But it's going to be a big moment for everybody.
As he is wont to do, he bragged about, no, we took care of everything. We built this. He wasn't done taking credit. This I found.
There's also, real quick,
there's always
like this air of Brady only played for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Like there's just sort of like, it's almost implied like lifelong Patriot. I know he didn't say lifelong.
Spent his whole career here. Never went anywhere.
Like, you know, you let him go. You got nothing for him and he won a Super Bowl the first year he was gone. But okay, fine.
Let me hear this. Kay Adams asked a question very, very similar to Taylor Rooks last year, week 3, whatever it was, the Thursday night game against the Jets. Like, when did you know Jerod Mayo was your guy? Kay asked him a very similar question about Mike Vrabel, which, A, I think the answer is weird, and B, I'd probably lean out on taking credit about when you knew a guy was going to be a head coach. But here's that exchange.
Can you tell me the first moment you looked at him as more than a player, someone who you thought, yeah, he can lead a team?
Well, we were privileged to have him. He was the union leader of the players, and he had an edge to him in a pleasant way, but hard. And then I guess that magic moment came to me when the last game Brady and Belichick ever played as a unit.
Here.
And right here. And he beat us in the playoffs. And I looked over and I thought, he's a guy who's been exposed to the greatest coach, the greatest quarterback, and he was able to overcome. He has knowledge that's intrinsic to being in this system, and he knew how to use it in a way to benefit his team. So ever since that moment, I've thought, wow, this is a guy one day we should consider to lead our efforts.
Pleasant but hard. I would put that on a t-shirt somewhere is what I would do.
That was my nickname in high school.
Your takeaways, Keith.
Yeah, once again, he probably says too much when talking about his Bill Belichick replacements, because if he knew Mike Vrabel was going to be this great replacement, like, I don't know, maybe not. Don't promise Gerard Mayo the job, right? Mike Vrabel was available to be your head coach.
You could have had him last year. If you knew so well what to bring him in, and he was going to be so good way back in 2019, well, then you should have, I don't know, brought him in.
Yeah.
So I thought that was nonsense. He's like, oh, well, he was exposed to the greatest coach and quarterback of all time. So was Gerard Mayo.
Correct.
Like, that to me is just completely meaningless.
Correct.
And it's just, it's so, oh, by the way, the moment you realize he might be a good coach is when he beat your ass in the playoffs? That's the moment?
Yeah.
Not like when he was here as a player. So he beat you in a playoff game and you go, that guy might be a coach? Like, first of all, wow. Like, what a prediction, Robert. Oh, my God. How'd you do that?
He looks pretty good.
And then secondarily, he's taking all this credit. Like, I knew way back when about the coach. It's the same thing he said with Mayo.
Yeah, you could have had him.
I would just sit that out.
Well, it also just goes back to, why did you promise Gerard Mayo the job? Like, that made no sense. Like, and I know he's talked about, like, his gut decisions and everything else. And that was a big thing a year ago. And it was one of the reasons why, up until the very, very end, I thought, like, Mayo might get another year, because Robert Kraft was so adamant that he's like, you know, I've had, like, four major decisions in my life. It's like my two wives, Belichick and Mayo. Like, he's lumping Mayo in with those decisions that he made.
Yeah.
So you're like, all right, then if you trust your gut so much, you're probably going to keep this guy. Yep. But, yeah, you could have had Vrabel last year. Maybe you have one less really down year because you sort of start that rebuild a little bit sooner and everything else. But, yeah, because that the Mayo discussion got thrown back in his face pretty quickly, right?
Well,
he was like peacocking around on the sideline saying how, like, he made
we knew
decision.
5 years ago in Israel.
We knew this was the guy. And then it's like,
it's
man.
It's nonsense.
It blew up in his face.
It turns out you don't know anything, Robert, so stop taking credit for it. You have no idea how Vrabel's going to work out. You were wrong about Mayo. She was your Ricky Lander when it came to your dating life. And so I just don't – if he's going to bring it up, then it's just going to bring up all the stuff with Mayo again.
Yeah.
Like, we mostly moved on. I mean, every once and then we'll mention how they're moving at practice and it feels like they have a real coach compared to Mayo.
Right.
But mostly that's buried until you bring stuff up like this and you want to take credit before the guys even coached a game.
But also, you are giving Vrabel a chance, at least. I know these are separate arguments, but, like, with Mayo last year, not that I think Mayo would have been a great coach, but did you get him, Milton Williams, Steph Diggs? Did Drake May start week one?
No.
Like, Robert
Spillane? No,
you didn't do any of that. You were just like, hey, take Bill's 4-win team. We'll add Drake May, like, week five and with another bad draft class and, like, try to figure this out. Now, even a good coach I don't think was going to be able to figure it out, let alone Mayo, who I don't think is a great coach necessarily. But at least Vrabel is set up more to win. The one thing I'll give Robert Kraft credit on is he didn't just double down on a bad decision. Right?
No.
Like, a lot of people will do that and they'll be like, I'm gonna keep doing this until it changes and then you'll see that I was right. Like, he knew bringing in Mayo and not spending any money on the team for another year was a mistake, and you were going to have another losing season if you did that. And so he at least made these changes. Now, talking up about how in 2020 you knew he was going to be a great, you know, maybe you wanted him to be the replacement for Bill, it doesn't make sense.
No. And again, wow, what a prediction. He beat you in a playoff game. He said that guy might have something. 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe on MLB Trade Deadline Day. 6 p.m. is the deadline. Breslow, my guy, still has time, but running out of it here on Deadline Day. We'll be going to the desk all day long with MLB correspondent Billy Lanny for any trades that happen, and we mean any trades that happen throughout Major League Baseball. You'll get the latest here on Jones and Keefe, so keep it locked. We have Rob Bradford joining us at 11:30. We'll go on the clock at high noon, catch you up to speed on everything you've missed through 8 days, seven and a half, I guess, of Patriots training camp in just 60 seconds, and a key for madness at 12:45, jam-packed on MLB Trade Deadline Day. We'll give you all the latest on what the Red Sox are up to and what they should be up to. Best-case scenario, worst-case scenario, coming up next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.